Hey there, and welcome to episode number 104 of Locked On Raptors for Friday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day out there to all you fake Irish people. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter at WoodleySean, and the show is on Twitter as well at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single show. Locked On Raptors is also part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which hosts team-specific shows for all 30 NBA teams, as well as Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd and Locked On NBA with David Locke, and you can find those all together on the Locked On NBA iTunes channel. You can also find our show, Locked On Raptors, on iTunes. Please go to the page, leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, of course. Tell your friends about it, too. You know, if you play any part in helping to boost the listenership or the view or the visibility of the show on iTunes, I really, really do appreciate it. And you would be contributing to the show in a very easy and very wonderful way. And so please do that. On today's show, wrapping up the week here to tee up the Raptors game against the Pistons on Friday night. I'll make my pick against the spread, of course. This is going to be one of those traditional sort of preview podcasts that I used to do sort of early in the days of the podcast. I got away from them a little bit over the last little while here just because I think, you know, I've either had the crossover podcast previewing games or there's just been more sort of interesting ways to go at these games. But as I kind of mentioned yesterday, it's been sort of a weird week and I'm kind of, you know, strapped for time. Haven't really been able to book guests, which I apologize for. I am sorry if the podcast has lagged a little bit this week. I feel like it's been okay, though. But next week, everything will be back to normal. I'll do all five shows and everything like that. It'll be fine. But yeah, just a weird week so far. But here's the sort of deal for this game tonight against the Pistons. It's a big one for the Raptors. The Raptors are obviously coming off a pretty ugly loss last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I might have glossed over how completely ugly it was last night when I was just sort of going through Twitter and ripping apart people's really bad takes about the Raptors, because it's really hard to get upset over a one-game sample if you're being rational and logical about things. But yeah, There were some troubling signs out of last night's game, you know, particularly the offense. I mean, the defense, I mean, everything was bad in that game, let's be honest. There was nothing good. Patrick Patterson really struggled, for example. Just Damari Carroll did nothing in his return. Serge Ibaka couldn't hit threes. It was a bad game, and the Raptors have a chance tonight in Detroit. You know, not too far of a trip for them. I would imagine they just took the bus down from Toronto to Detroit last night and are ready to play the Pistons in Detroit tonight. It's a big game for the Raptors. Coming into tonight, the Raptors currently boast the 16th best defense in the NBA. Of course, it's been much better since the All-Star break. It took a bit of a hit last night against the Thunder, but overall, it's been pretty solid, and they currently are sitting with the fourth best offense in the NBA. So promising signs in terms of the defense coming up. The offense has obviously slipped even since January 1st when the Raptors offense fell apart, even with Kyle Lowry in the lineup. But overall, not a terrible look from the Raptors, just in terms of where they stand efficiency wise and I think there's room for improvement on defense. The Pistons come in, they're 23rd in offense, 104 offensive rating, and in this season of crazy offense, that's definitely not, you know, something you want to see. They are a little bit better on defense. They're the number 10 defense right now in the NBA at 104.5. And just to sort of kind of give you a clue of just how close the middle of the NBA is in terms of defensive rating, I mean, the Pistons are 10th right now with 104.5. The Raptors are 105.7, tied with two other teams for 14th. So there's it's realistic to think that this could even flip tonight if the Raptors have a really good defensive showing and the Pistons don't. I mean, it would take a blowout, I think, for the Raptors in order to flip where they sit in terms of defensive rating, but it's very clustered and very close, and the Raptors aren't that far from a top 10 standing. And, you know, if you can get to top 10 in both offense and defense, that's going to mean good things for you come playoff time. So at least it tends to. That's usually kind of the barometer by which you measure really good teams, and all the best teams are kind of up there in terms of offense and defense. Like, you know, look at the Jazz or the Spurs or the Warriors, all very good offensive and defensive teams. All right, let's sort of get into the three big things from this game to kind of keep an eye out for. Number one is I'm really curious to see how the Pistons are going to defend the Raptors without Kyle Lowry in the lineup. If you remember the last time these two teams played, Lowry was available. It happened just before the All-Star break, February 12th. It was 2 days before that loss to the Bulls, and things were really kind of spiraling out of control at this point. It was the second of three straight losses against the Pistons, and they lost on a last, you know, few seconds three from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who I think on the night, let me pull up the box score here. On that night, he was 2 of 12 from 3. One of those completely killed the Raptors in the fourth quarter. The Raptors got outscored 36-19 in the fourth quarter in that game, if you remember back. Maybe you don't want to remember it. It was pretty bad. You know, it was a game where John Luehr and Reggie Jackson started, and both were minus 25s. And then Tobias Harris and Ish Smith came off the bench and were both plus 26. And the Pistons ended up winning by one. So that little extra point that they gave, was the difference, I guess, if you want to look at that way. But yeah, it was a really disheartening game. The Raptors normally fare pretty well against the Pistons, so I'm expecting the Raptors to kind of bounce back tonight. They've had these games where they've, you know, come right after a really bad performance and played pretty well of late, so I'm expecting the Raptors to win tonight. But the interesting thing for me is how the Pistons decided to defend DeRozan, because, you know, normally teams have been throwing two guys at DeRozan and forcing him to get the ball out of his hands. The Pistons are a team where, if they want, they can just kind of switch everything, and they have a lot of athletes and guys who might be able to stay in front of DeRozan and sort of play straight up. And if they can do that with, you know, Stanley Johnson or Tobias Harris or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, maybe they can get away with not sending doubles towards DeRozan and just forcing him, maybe, you know, goading him into sort of doing things by himself because he's not facing that extra attention. And then maybe they are relying on him not making mid-range jumpers and whatnot. But it's an interesting thing that I'm curious to see tonight, because most teams have decided to employ that two guys in DeRozan's face all the time in the pick and roll sort of philosophy since Kyle Lowry went down. And it's worked on most nights. I mean, there have been nights where DeRozan's gotten free, and there have been nights where he's really distributed well. That Pelicans game stands out as one. Even the one over the weekend against, who the hell did they play on Sunday? The game against against the Mavericks, he distributed really well. Even though he only had two assists in the game, he had, you know, some really, really nice passes throughout the game. And even early against the Thunder, he had some nice setups as well. So he's done a good job of fighting out of those doubles. So I'm curious tonight, maybe the Pistons decided to just play straight up, switch the pick and roll whenever they can. You know, maybe if the Raptors are using Serge Ibaka as a screener, Marcus Morris ends up coming out and being the guy that gets switched onto DeRozan. And Morris is not, you know, a super fleet of foot defender, I don't think, like, especially when it's a guy against, like, DeRozan who's up against him. But I think most of the Pistons' wings are able to keep in front of DeRozan at least, and maybe you know, limit the amount of 4-on-3 opportunities the Raptors can try to exploit. Again, it's been kind of hit or miss whether the Raptors are going to be able to actually exploit those this season, but something to keep an eye on nonetheless. And that'll be a fascinating sort of X's and O's wrinkle to see what the Pistons throw at DeMar tonight, because they do kind of have the tools that most other teams don't, in just in terms of just having a bounty of just long wings who can kind of switch any position from 2 through 4, or even 1, really. I mean, Ish Smith is not a great defensive player by any means, but and Reggie Jackson's okay, but, you know, it's mostly 2 through 4 with Caldwell-Pope, Morris, Stanley Johnson, Tobias Harris. So interesting thing to watch for there. Next thing for me, and it's kind of always the thing when the Raptors play against the Pistons, it's Jonas Valanciunas. Again, he's kind of been up and down a little bit. He's had nice games. He's had poor games. Last night, he was kind of a non-factor. Steven Adams seemed to really get in his head. Early foul trouble kind of got him out of the game, and he didn't really impact what happened all that much. And maybe that caused the Raptors to lose. I don't know. But yeah, it was not a great performance last night from Valanciunas. And tonight, you know, tonight against Andre Drummond, one of the few guys in the league who actually bites at his pump fake pretty routinely, there's a good chance for Jonas to be pretty good. Actually, of all teams in the NBA, Jonas has his best numbers, at least scoring-wise, against the Pistons. He averages 16 points, 9 rebounds in 16 career games against Detroit, shooting 65.3 true shooting percentage, which is pretty outstanding. He usually gets his usage bumped up as well. I think it's his highest usage rate against any team as well, except for against Milwaukee, actually. But yeah, 21.7 usage compared to sort of 18, 17, 19 against most other teams. So this is a matchup that the Raptors really like to, you know, feature Valanciunas. He plays a ton of minutes against them as well. Of all the teams he's played in his career, he's played the most minutes per game aside from one, which is New Orleans for some reason. But again, that's a smaller sample, just half the games. So really, this is JV's time to shine. He must look at these games on the sort of upcoming schedule and just lick his chops, because, you know, over 16 games, 478 minutes, he's shooting 61% against the Pistons. Andre Drummond just can't figure him out, and he's not the kind of guy on the other end that's going to victimize Valanciunas by pulling him away from the basket. So this one is going to be fascinating to watch. I kind of want to see, actually, what Drummond's numbers are against the Raptors, because he hasn't been great this season. He always puts up the sort of, you know, gaudy, like, 15 and 14 kind of stat line, but against the Raptors, I feel like he hasn't been quite as good. I'm going to pull that up right here. Yeah, actually, against the Raptors, he's pretty bad. Against, pretty much against any Eastern Conference team, he fares the worst against the Raptors. He only shoots 48%, 48.3 true shooting percentage against the Raptors, just 12 points, 12 rebounds, and, you know, he's usually scoring quite a bit more against other opponents. So that's a weird matchup that has always gone in the Raptors' way, and that's going to be a big one tonight. If Valanciunas can get those minutes in, you know, play something like 30 minutes, that'll be good for the Raptors, because that's a really good source of offense tonight. It's a proven path to offense, especially against this specific matchup, and the Raptors need to find offense any way they possibly can right now. And to get the ball to JV and to force it into him and have him be sort of a feature part of the offense against Andre Drummond, I think that's something that he can do, and I think that's something that the Raptors should look for tonight, just to get JV involved. And they usually do a pretty good job of that against the Pistons. They know just as well as anybody how well JV fares against Detroit. And final thing, I just want to sort of update the playoff race. The Raptors are obviously still in fourth in the Eastern Conference, and again, it's going to be tricky to move up. Last night, the loss was not great. They had an opportunity to sort of keep pace with the Wizards and pull a little bit closer with a win. With the loss, they fall 2.5 games back. Of course, they still have the tiebreaker. The Wizards have lost two in a row, and their schedule, as I've kind of gone over, still gets really hard. So I still think the 3 seed is up for grabs, just because of what the Wizards are about to come up against. When it comes to the Pistons are currently 8th right now in that really ugly 6 through 10 sort of cluster of teams in the Eastern Conference, where none of them are all that good or inspiring. You know, the Pistons might have the deepest roster of any of those teams, unless you like the Pacers, but again, I'm not a huge Pacers guy. I don't think the Pacers are all that scary, and I think I talked about them last night, where someone thought that the Raptors might, you know, get surpassed by the Pacers in the standings at some point. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Pacers have the juice to sort of get up there. Kind of the entire East right now is kind of just above 500. There's no team that's really had a nice streak over the last little while. The Bucks and the Wizards are, I guess, the closest thing. They're both 7-3 over the last 10, but everyone else is either 5-5 or 6-4. No one's really, you know, dominating the Eastern Conference right now. It's all kind of been stagnant, and the Raptors have an opportunity here to, if they can string some wins together, they have the upcoming schedule. Again, it's not that difficult for the Raptors, and to play the Pistons tonight and the Pacers on Saturday for the first time all year, I'm going to be going to that game as a fan, which will be fun and interesting. But yeah, like, the opportunity is there for the Raptors to sort of snag some wins here and maybe make up some ground on a Wizards team that has a really tough road ahead. The Pistons, I mean, there's a chance they could come sixth. They're 2 games back of the Pacers right now. They're in 8th, of course, and they have a very easy schedule down the rest of the season. It's one of the easiest schedules in the Eastern Conference, the second easiest among all playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. So the Pistons have a good shot of getting in here, and if they're 2 back of Indiana, there's a chance they catch up there. And there's an outside shot that the Raptors and Pistons could be a first-round playoff series if the Raptors can snag that 3rd seed and Detroit capitalizes on an easy schedule down the stretch here. It's still so far out to be sort of hypothesizing what seeds might look like, but that's a possibility there. And I think if you're a Raptors fan and you have designs on getting the 3 seed, and I think it's still possible for the Raptors, I still think, you know, Washington's schedule, just looking here, is tied with Milwaukee's as the hardest in the Eastern Conference for the rest of the season. And the Raptors are kind of middle of the road. Of course, they don't have Kyle Lowry, so factoring in strength of schedule is a little difficult, and they're playing a lot of teams that are playing for stuff, you know, around playoff races. But if the Raptors can get up to 3 and Detroit gets to 6, I mean, that's a possibility, and I think that would really be a nice matchup for the Raptors, considering how JV fares there and once the Raptors have everybody available, just sort of the offensive punch I think they'll have will be way too much for Detroit to hang with, because Detroit's not a good offensive team, as I outlined earlier. So if you're a Raptors fan, that's what you're hoping for. Detroit getting to the 6th seed and the Raptors stealing the 3 away from Washington, that would be ideal. Again, I don't think that's super likely. I don't have the exact probability of that happening right now, but the best case scenario for the Raptors as we get down to the end of the season here, we're getting really close, man. The Raptors only have 13 games left, including tonight. It's getting really close. We're less than a month away, I think, from the playoffs starting. So we're going to have a lot of stuff on Locked On Raptors over the next month or so. I'm not getting too much into prospecty stuff right now. I know the NCAA tournament's going on and people are curious about prospects, but I haven't watched enough college basketball this season to be at all informed on that. And I think the draft stuff will be better suited towards when after the season is over and we're still looking for topics and what I'm probably going to do is after the season's over, I'm just going to take every day and just sort of talk about a prospect, maybe have a guest on to talk about the prospect, or sort of just go over my own sort of observations of the player after watching some film. So that'll all come later. If you're looking for that right now, it's not going to come right now. But after the season is over, hopefully, you know, late May or so, or about mid-June, perhaps. I don't think that's the case. But after the season's over, we'll get deep into the draft coverage, just not quite yet. And apologies for that if that's what you're hoping for, but here we got a lot of stuff coming up too. We have lots of games coming up that we're going to preview, recap, and all that stuff. I have a guest, an interesting guest that I'm kind of working on. It hasn't quite worked out just yet in terms of logistics, but I have an interesting, fun guest that'll be kind of off the beaten path that I'm hoping to get lined up in the next couple weeks. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it's to do with, but it has to do with food. So just that's your little nugget of tease right there. Nugget of tease? I don't think that's a thing. That sounds like a really bad band. Anyway, that's going to do it for me. Thank you so much for listening to my garble. We'll be back again on Monday with more Locked On Raptors. Again, apologies for the weird week. We'll be back full force next week. We'll have guests. We'll have exciting game recaps and all that fun stuff and previews. Actually, quickly, got to make the pick for tonight's game. The Raptors currently go into tonight's game in Detroit as 3.5-point underdogs to the Pistons. I'm really bad at making these picks. I believe right now, after I forgot to make my pick for the Thursday game against the Thunder, I think I'm 30-37-1 through 68 games. So yeah, not great on my part, but hopefully that'll turn around here. I still have a chance of getting back to 500. So tonight the Raptors are 3.5-point underdogs in Detroit. I'm going to take the Raptors to cover and win. I'm not totally scared of Detroit. I mean, Detroit's playing reasonably okay lately, I suppose, but I just don't think the Raptors should be all that worried. The Pistons have lost 2 straight, actually, so maybe the Raptors can capitalize on that. I know it's the second night of a back-to-back, but the travel's not too hard, and the Raptors need this win. So I'm going to take that Raptors covering that 3.5-point Pistons spread. So, yeah, I'll be 30-38-1 by the end of the night, I'm sure. Thank you again for listening. We'll be back again on Monday, of course, with all the bells and whistles and guests and everything. You can follow me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. You can follow the show at Locked On Raptors. You can leave a rating or a review on the iTunes page. Would really appreciate that. And everybody, have a great and safe weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.